Why God cannot destroy Satan or fallen angels? The question of why God does not destroy Satan or the fallen angels has perplexed believers and scholars for centuries. To understand this, we must explore key theological principles, including the nature of God, the creation of spiritual beings, the fall of Satan, the concept of free will, and how all of these play into God's overarching plan for redemption and humanity's spiritual growth. In this narrative, we will examine these themes through a biblical lens, diving into why Satan and his followers continue to exist and what purpose they serve within God's divine framework. 1. Satan and the fallen angels as spiritual beings. Satan and the fallen angels exist because they are spirits created by God. This foundational truth forms the basis for understanding why God cannot destroy them, at least in the conventional sense of the word destroy. Spiritual beings by nature are immortal, they cannot die. Unlike physical beings who are subject to decay and death, spirits are eternal. This is not a limitation of God's power, but rather a reflection of the essence of their creation. In the Bible, God is described as spirit, John 4:24, and as beings made in the likeness of God, angels, including Satan and his followers, share in the characteristic of immortality. This spirit nature means that they cannot simply cease to exist. When God created Satan, who was once a high-ranking angel, he did so with a specific purpose in mind, as he does with all creation. Although Satan rebelled against God, that original purpose, intertwined with the nature of spiritual beings, means that Satan's existence serves a role within God's greater plan. However, this existence is not one of constant triumph. The Bible teaches that Satan is continuously falling. His rebellion against God is not a one-time event, but an ongoing state of becoming more corrupt and distanced from God's goodness. In Luke 10:18, Jesus states, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." This indicates that Satan's rebellion led to his expulsion from heaven, but it does not signify the end of his existence. Revelation describes Satan's ultimate fate as being cast into a bottomless pit, a symbol of his eternal fall into darkness. This ongoing descent highlights that pride, unchecked, leads to spiritual destruction, not in the sense of ceasing to exist, but in a continual state of degradation. Satan's fall is, in essence, a moral and spiritual deterioration that continues as long as he remains in opposition to God. Thus, God's decision not to destroy Satan is intricately linked to the nature of spiritual beings. Satan's existence is not an oversight by God, but rather a demonstration of the unique qualities of spiritual creation. Destruction, in this context, does not equate to non-existence, but to a spiritual death, an ongoing separation from God's presence and goodness. 2. Satan's rebellion and fall from heaven. Satan's rebellion is one of the most famous stories in the Bible, encapsulated in passages such as Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28. These passages describe Satan's original position as a high-ranking angel who was beautiful and perfect, created by God for a purpose. However, pride began to take root in Satan's heart. He was no longer content with the glorious role he had been given. Instead, he sought to elevate himself to a position equal to or greater than God himself. In Isaiah 14:12-15, Satan, also referred to as morning star, son of the dawn, declares, "I will ascend to the heavens. I will raise my throne above the stars of God." This passage shows the audacity of Satan's rebellion. His desire was not merely to oppose God, but to usurp his authority. This rebellion led to a cosmic battle in heaven, where Satan and his followers were ultimately defeated and cast out of heaven. However, God did not destroy Satan and his followers after their defeat. Instead, they were cast out of heaven, but allowed to continue their existence. Why? One reason lies in the nature of justice and fairness. To kill Satan immediately for his rebellion would have contradicted God's principles of justice. Even a criminal deserves a trial, and Satan's rebellion would need to be fully addressed in the proper context of time and divine judgment. Moreover, Satan's fall serves as an example of the consequences of pride and rebellion. His story is a cautionary tale for all of creation, illustrating what happens when one strays from God's will. The ongoing existence of Satan reminds humanity and the spiritual realm alike of the dangers of pride and the importance of humility before God. Satan's role in God's divine plan, even after his rebellion, is significant. His ongoing existence serves as a symbol of the battle between good and evil, a battle that ultimately highlights the glory and justice of God. Through Satan's rebellion and subsequent fall, we see a demonstration of God's sovereign authority and his ability to turn even rebellion into an opportunity for his divine purposes to unfold. 3. The role of free will in God's decision. One of the most important aspects of why God allows Satan and the fallen angels to continue to exist is the concept of free will. God created all beings, both angels and humans, with the ability to choose whether or not to follow him. Free will is essential to the nature of love and goodness. True love, after all, cannot be forced, it must be chosen. God desires his creation to love him authentically, and this requires that his creatures have the freedom to make that choice. In granting free will, God acknowledged the possibility that some beings would choose to reject him. Satan and the fallen angels exercise their free will in rebellion against God. If God were to destroy them immediately, it would contradict the very nature of free will. Destroying Satan and his followers for their choices would negate the reality of free will and would imply that God only values obedience through coercion rather than genuine choice. The fact that Satan and the fallen angels continue to exist is, therefore, a testament to the importance God places on free will. Even though their choices led to rebellion, God allows them to live as a demonstration of his respect for the freedom he granted. This is a sobering reality for humanity, as it serves as a reminder that our own choices have eternal significance. Additionally, free will also allows for the possibility of redemption. Although Satan and the fallen angels are unlikely to seek redemption, God's nature is such that he gives every being the opportunity to turn back to him. God's patience and mercy are on display in his decision not to destroy Satan, as he gives him the same opportunity for repentance that he extends to all of creation. Although the Bible does not suggest that Satan will repent, the possibility remains, showcasing God's commitment to mercy even in the face of rebellion. 4. Satan's role in redemption and Jesus' mission. Satan's existence also plays a crucial role in the story of redemption, particularly in the life of Jesus Christ. One of the most significant moments in Jesus' life is his temptation in the wilderness, where Satan sought to derail his mission. For 40 days, Satan tempted Jesus, but Jesus resisted by quoting scripture and standing firm in his divine purpose. This episode demonstrates that Jesus was worthy of the mission he was sent to accomplish, dying for the sins of the world. The temptation in the wilderness is critical to the story of salvation, because it proves that Jesus, as the Son of God, was not only divine, but also fully human. By resisting Satan's temptations, Jesus showed that he could live a sinless life, making him the perfect sacrifice for humanity's sins. If Satan had not existed, this temptation would not have occurred, and Jesus' role as the sinless Savior may not have been fully demonstrated. Furthermore, Satan's influence extended beyond the wilderness temptation. He also played a role in Jesus' crucifixion through his influence over Judas Iscariot, the disciple who betrayed Jesus. Satan entered Judas, leading him to betray his master for 30 pieces of silver. This betrayal set in motion the events that led to Jesus' death on the cross, which was the ultimate act of redemption for humanity. In this sense, Satan's existence, though evil, was used by God as part of his redemptive plan for the world. God, in his infinite wisdom, can use even the most rebellious beings to accomplish his purposes. By allowing Satan to exist and to play a role in these events, God demonstrated his sovereignty over all things. Even when Satan thought he was thwarting God's plan, he was unknowingly contributing to it. 5. God's love, patience, and the purpose of temptation. At the core of God's decision not to destroy Satan is his love and patience. God's love is so great that he extends it even to those who rebel against him. This love is not a passive emotion, but an active force that desires redemption and reconciliation for all of creation. God's patience is demonstrated in his willingness to allow Satan and his followers to continue to exist, giving them time to repent, even if they never do. Satan's ongoing existence also serves a purpose in testing humanity's faith. Temptation is not merely an opportunity for failure, it is also an opportunity for spiritual growth. By resisting temptation, humans have the chance to demonstrate their love and loyalty to God. These challenges strengthen faith, build character, and lead to greater spiritual maturity. In James 1:2-4, we are encouraged to consider it pure joy when facing trials because the testing of our faith produces perseverance. Without the existence of Satan and his temptations, humanity would not have the opportunity to grow in this way. Satan's presence in the world is, therefore, part of the refining process that prepares believers for eternal life with God. Although Satan's role is one of opposition and destruction, God allows it because it facilitates spiritual growth and strengthens the resolve of believers. Through temptation, individuals have the opportunity to choose righteousness and deepen their relationship with God. The presence of evil, while tragic, gives way to the exercise of faith, perseverance, and trust in God's sovereignty. Moreover, God's patience in dealing with Satan and the fallen angels is a reflection of his character. In 2 Peter 3:9, it says that the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. This principle of divine patience applies not only to humanity, but also to all of creation, including angels. God's decision to allow Satan to continue to exist is consistent with his desire for repentance and reconciliation. 6. Temptation as a spiritual test. Temptation plays a critical role in God's plan for spiritual refinement. Satan's existence, and by extension, his role as the tempter, allows for a continuous test of humanity's faith. The Bible makes it clear that temptation is not inherently evil. It is part of the human experience that can lead to spiritual growth. The ability to resist temptation builds spiritual strength and deepens a person's trust in God. In James 1:12, it says, "Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because, having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him." Temptation, then, serves a greater purpose. It provides a framework in which humans can prove their love and loyalty to God. Without the existence of Satan, these opportunities for spiritual testing and growth would not exist in the same way. While Satan intends to lead people astray through temptation, God uses the same circumstances for the good of those who love him. In Romans 8:28, we are reminded that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Even the actions of Satan and his fallen angels are not outside the bounds of God's plan. Though Satan seeks to destroy, God turns these attempts into opportunities for believers to demonstrate their faith and grow spiritually. 7. The role of free will and divine justice. One of the most profound reasons why God does not destroy Satan and the fallen angels is rooted in the principle of free will. God, in his wisdom and sovereignty, created beings, both angels and humans, with the ability to choose. Free will is central to the relationship between God and his creation because it allows for genuine love and obedience. Forced love or compliance would contradict the very nature of what God desires from his creation: authentic, voluntary devotion. The Bible emphasizes the importance of free will as it reflects God's desire for genuine relationships with his creatures. In Deuteronomy 30:19, God tells the Israelites, "This day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live." The call to choose life over death highlights the role of free will in the divine-human relationship. If God were to destroy Satan and his fallen angels outright, it would undermine the very concept of free will that he has established. Free will inherently includes the possibility of rebellion and rejection. Destroying Satan and his followers for exercising their free will would contradict the purpose of giving free will in the first place. It would imply that creatures are only free to choose God as long as they make the right choice. In reality, free will must involve the possibility of choosing against God, even though that choice comes with significant consequences. Furthermore, God's justice demands that all beings be given a fair trial. The Bible speaks of a future day of judgment when all creatures, including Satan and the fallen angels, will be judged for their actions. In Revelation 20:10, it is foretold that Satan will eventually be thrown into the lake of fire, where he will be tormented forever. This final judgment is the ultimate act of justice, but it will only occur at the appointed time. Until that time, Satan and his followers are allowed to exist so that their actions can be fully judged in the context of divine justice. God's justice is perfect, and part of that justice involves allowing Satan and the fallen angels to continue their existence until the time of judgment. Destroying them prematurely would circumvent this process, denying them the opportunity for a full and fair trial before the Creator. God's justice is not arbitrary or capricious. It is methodical and righteous, ensuring that every being receives due consideration for their actions. 8. God's ultimate plan for Satan and the fallen angels. Though Satan and the fallen angels continue to exist, their fate is already sealed according to biblical prophecy. God's ultimate plan involves their final defeat and judgment. The book of Revelation provides a detailed account of what will happen to Satan and his followers in the end times. In Revelation 20:10, it is written, "And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet had been thrown. They will be tormented day and night forever and ever." This final judgment demonstrates that although Satan and the fallen angels have been allowed to exist for a time, their rebellion will not go unpunished. God has a specific purpose and timeline for the defeat of Satan, and it will occur according to his divine plan. The existence of Satan and his followers serves a purpose within this plan, but their ultimate fate is one of eternal punishment. Until that time, Satan's ongoing existence serves as a reminder of the cosmic battle between good and evil, a battle that ultimately highlights the glory of God. Even as Satan seeks to deceive and destroy, God uses these actions to bring about his purposes, refining believers and demonstrating his power and sovereignty over all things. In conclusion, the reason why God cannot destroy Satan and the fallen angels is deeply rooted in the nature of spiritual beings, free will, divine justice, and God's ultimate plan for redemption. Satan's continued existence is not a sign of God's inability to act, but a reflection of his patience, love, and commitment to justice. God created all beings with a purpose, and even though Satan rebelled, his existence continues to serve God's divine plan. The presence of Satan and his temptations allows for the testing and refinement of humanity, providing opportunities for spiritual growth and perseverance. God's respect for free will means that he allows Satan to continue to exist, even as he works through every circumstance to bring about his glory and the good of those who love him. Moreover, God's justice requires that Satan and the fallen angels be given a fair trial at the appointed time. Their existence will eventually come to an end, but it will happen according to God's timeline, not ours. In the meantime, believers can trust in God's sovereignty, knowing that every event, even the actions of Satan, is part of his ultimate plan for the redemption of the world. God's decision not to destroy Satan and the fallen angels immediately is a profound demonstration of his love, patience, and justice. It reflects the complexity of his divine nature and his desire for all of creation to freely choose him. Through the existence of Satan, humanity is given the opportunity to grow in faith, resist temptation, and demonstrate true love and loyalty to God. In the end, God's plan will be fulfilled, and Satan's rebellion will be met with final judgment, showcasing the triumph of good over evil and the ultimate sovereignty of God.